Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering and a sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Keep your Bibles open there, because as I said, that's the passage we're going to be looking at tonight. But I want to start and ask you, have you ever had a time when things just did not live up to your expectations? I want to share a quick story about a time when things didn't live up to my expectations. Before moving to Brisbane, I'd never been to Sizzlers. And Julie got there and told me Sizzlers, the cheese toast, she told me it was really, really good. And since I'd never been, I thought, hey, let's go check this out. So Julie took me there for my birthday, and we went in and we ordered the all-you-can-eat buffet meal and sat down. They brought out the cheese toast, picked it up, bit into it, and oh, it's so good. It's really, really nice, that cheese toast. And because it was so good, my expectations for the rest of the meal were like really, really high. But, well, unfortunately, the rest of the meal was like a bit of a failure. It didn't live up to my expectations after having that cheese toast. Now, I reckon all of you can share different stories of times when things just haven't lived up to your expectations. Times when going out for meals hasn't lived up to your expectations. Going and seeing a movie, going on holidays. Hope that doesn't happen for you, Brendan and Amy. Also, relationships. I bet you can all share times when it just hasn't been as good or lived up to the expectation that you were hoping for. Well, as we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 30 tonight, we're going to see how God wants us as Christians to live. We're going to see the expectation God has upon us as Christians. So, how does God want us to live? How does God expect us as Christians to live? Well, that's the answer. The question we're going to answer as we look at Philippians 2, 12 to 30. But before we get into it, we're going to go back and do a little bit of reading of chapter 2, because last week we jumped to the end of the book, and the week before that, Matt White preached on the first half of chapter 2. So we're going to go and read from verse 6 in chapter 2, and this is what it says. It says concerning Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, how should we live in light of Jesus, the King of the world? How does God expect us to live? Well, the first thing God expects us, the first way God expects us to live, is just to live as Christians. If you call yourself a Christian, God expects us to live as a Christian. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, God expects us to live as a follower of Jesus. See, this is seen in verses 12 and 13. It says this. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." The first thing Paul tells us, live out what you already are. So he gets there and he says that we are to continue to work out our salvation. Now, sounds a bit strange, but the first thing we need to remember is the letter of Philippians is written to a Christian church. It's written to a bunch of Christians. We see that in chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. See, if you're a Christian here tonight, you're a saint. You're set apart to live for God and for God alone. Paul says, continue to work out your salvation. And when he says that, he isn't saying that we are to continually try to figure out how is it that I can be saved. He's not saying that. Rather, he's saying we Christians are to work hard at showing the results of their salvations, of their salvation. That's what Christians are to do. Christians are to work hard at living out what we already are. Now, that's hard work. Living a Christian life, following Jesus step by step, it's hard work, living out what we already are. Now, a lot of people have been Christians longer than myself, and I bet if you ask them how you go about following Jesus, they'll say it's a long obedience in the same direction, continuing to follow Jesus day after day after day. Continue to follow him. When times are hard, we're to work hard at showing that we're followers of Jesus. When times are good, we're to work hard at following Jesus, showing that we're followers of him. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're just checking out Christianity. That's great to have you here. And you've heard a bit about Jesus and you're thinking, tonight I'd like to become a follower of Jesus. Well, if that's you, I'd love for you to talk to a Christian that you know. Maybe you come here with a Christian. Talk to them about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to have Jesus as your king. But if you don't know a Christian, sure, Weber and Dan or myself, we'd love to have a chat to you if you'd like to know more about following Jesus. So please, come and have a chat to us. So as we're looking at Philippians, the first thing Paul tells us is that we're to live out what we already are. The first way God expects us to live is simply to live out what we already are. Well, from verses 14 to 30, Paul starts to get really, really practical in how it is that we can live out what we already are. He tells us to live out what we already are by not complaining or arguing. Look with me at verse 14, 15. This is what it says. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. I had a mate, he was my youth minister when I used to live down at Finley, and his name was Dave, and Dave would take us up to this camp at Sydney, a PY summer camp. It went from like the 26th of December till the new year. And when you go to the camp, there were about 250 youth at this camp. And to feed that many youth, you need a lot of food. And because a lot of food is being consumed, there's a lot of trips to the toilet. Now, at the start of the week, they got there and said, hey, who here would like to clean the toilets for a week? Now, hands weren't really coming up very quickly at all. And my mate Dave, he got there and put his hand up, said, yep, I'll do that job. I'll go and clean those stinky toilets for a whole week. And as I watched Dave do that job, as I watched Dave clean those toilets, the worst job on the camp, he did it without complaining once. And as I watched Dave do that job, he stood out to me. He shone like a star. He really stood out to me as I watched Dave do that terrible job. Now, everything we do is to be done without complaining or arguing. Everything, wow. What a challenge that is for us who complain when church goes too long, or when they don't sing the songs that I like, or when the food gets eaten down the back before I get any, or when the children make too much noise. Do everything without complaining or arguing. You see, a person who lives this type of life, we're told, will shine like stars in the universe. So let me ask you, how are you going at doing everything without complaining or arguing? How are you going at that? Wives, when you go out and you meet up with your girlfriends and you have your coffee and you're talking about your husbands, and some of the people are complaining about their husbands because they don't do things the way that you think they should be done. Do you join in and complain about your husbands then? Or husbands, when you get home and your wife wants to talk to you, do you complain? Now, we don't complain to them directly, but we complain in our heads. It's like, oh, just leave me alone. Or are you grateful that you've actually got a wife that wants to talk to you? What about the youth and the young adults? When you're at uni or school or at primary school, they give you another assignment. Oh, another assignment. I don't want to do another assignment. And you complain about it again and again and again. Or are you grateful that you can actually come to a country where you can have an education, where that isn't experienced in a lot of places? It's hard, isn't it? Do everything without complaining or arguing. And I'm sure this is an area that I struggle with, and I'm sure that all of you struggle with this area in some way as well. And what we need to be continually doing is coming back to God and asking Him to forgive us for the times when we complain and argue. Asking Him to help us to live more like Jesus, to help us to live His way, and help us not to be complainers and arguers. So far, we've seen that we live out what we already are by not complaining or arguing. Well, Paul then goes on to show us another way that we shine like stars in the universe. Paul says halfway through verse 15, he gets there and he says this. He says, in which you shine like stars in the universe, verse 16, as you hold out the word of life. Now, Paul says we shine like stars as we hold out the word of life. Now, some people might have a little footnote there where it says, as we hold out. And if you go down to the bottom of the page, it can say, hold on to. So verse 16 there can be translated as you hold out the word of life, or as you hold on to the word of life. Now, I think it's best to translate as you hold on to the word of life. The reason why I think that is because as we hold on to the word of life, as we hold on to the gospel, as we continue that same obedience, along obedience in the same direction, people will see us becoming more and more like Jesus. People will see us living out what we already are. People will see us continually holding firm to the gospel in a crooked and depraved generation. If you do that, if you continue to hold on to the gospel, you'll shine like a star. It's so important to hold on to the gospel because when Jesus was doing his teaching, he did some really hard teaching. All these people, they deserted Jesus. We're out of here. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, what about you? Are you going to stay following me, or are you going to desert me as well? And Peter, no surprise, speaks up. And he says to Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Later on, in one of Paul's letters to Timothy, his last letter recorded, he writes to Timothy, and he gets there and says, evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You want to be blameless before God? Hold on to the gospel. You want to be pure? Hold on to the gospel. You want to be faultless? Hold on to the gospel. See, as we live out what we already are by holding on to the gospel, we'll shine like stars in the universe. So how do we do that? How do we go about holding on to the gospel? There's heaps of different ways you can do this. We're just going to point out a couple of ways. Husbands, wives, when you talk to each other about God and about Jesus and about things you've been learning from the Bible and reading the Bible with each other, you're encouraging each other to hold firm to the gospel. Other people who may not be married, when you catch up with friends and you read the Bible, you get to talk about God. You're encouraging each other to continue to follow Jesus. You encourage each other to hold on to the gospel. Parents, when you open up the Bible with your children, you're showing them that holding on to the gospel is important, more important than anything. You're showing them, setting an example for holding on to the gospel. See, we do all these things because we know that if you let go of the gospel, there is no hope. We know that if our husband or wife lets go of the gospel, there is no hope. We know that if our friends let go of the gospel, there is no hope. We know that if our children let go of the gospel, there is no hope. So keep holding on to the good news of Jesus. Keep on living out what you already are by holding on to the good news of Jesus. Because as you do that, you'll shine like a star in the universe. So how does God expect us to live? He expects us to live out what we already are by not complaining or arguing, and also by holding on to the gospel. See, as we do that, we'll shine like stars in the universe. Well, Paul now moves on to give two examples of men who shine like stars in the universe. He moves on to give an example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, tonight we're only going to look at Timothy, which is the first example, and that's found in verses 19 to 24, and this is what it says. It says, "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." Paul gets there and says, I'm coming to see you. I want to come and see you. But he wants to send Timothy to them to hear encouraging news that the Philippians are actually putting into practice what he's instructed them to do. And he's an amazing man, Timothy. And Paul doesn't hold back on the Philippians. He sends his right-hand man. He sends Timothy, who has a genuine concern for other people. Now, when you think about how Timothy has a genuine concern for other people, all he is doing is reflecting what Jesus is like, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus did that because he had our interests in mind. Jesus did that because he was concerned for us. And as Timothy shows concern for other people, he is showing people what Jesus is like, and it stands out. How much more today does it stand out when you come across a person who is concerned for others? Today it's really challenging because today it's all about looking after number one, look after myself. But how encouraging is it when you come across someone who's genuinely concerned for others? As a church here, we support some missionaries over in Japan called the Evanses. And just imagine if they rang up Dan or Weber and they rang them up and said, "Hey, we want you to send someone who is genuinely concerned over here because we need their help." Where would your name come on the list? Would you be a person that could be said to be genuinely concerned, or are you a person on the other spectrum, other end of the spectrum? Are you a selfless person, or a selfish person? During Julie's and my time here at Acacia Ridge, we've had a few people just ring us up randomly and say, "Hey, we got a meal for you," and just brought it around. That's so encouraging to hear people concerned for other people. And maybe hospitality is not your thing. Maybe your thing might be getting on the phone and making a call. It's like just ringing up a friend. So, "Hey, how's things going? Hey, I heard you had an operation. Are you going all right? Or I haven't seen you for a few weeks at church. Is everything going all right?" There's so many different ways we can go about showing concern for other people. And that stands out in this world because, as I said before, this world is so much focused on looking after number one. But we know Jesus, he looked after us before himself. So how does God expect us to live? He expects us to live out what we already are, by not complaining or arguing, by by holding on to the gospel and by being concerned for others. But that's hard. That's hard to live out what we already are by not complaining or arguing and by holding on to the gospel. Because there's so many different things that are trying to pull our attention away. And it's hard to take the focus of ourselves and focus it back on Jesus and being concerned for others. It's hard. So what do we need to do? We need to go back to verse 13. Look with me at verse 13. It says this. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." As we strive to become more and more like Jesus, as we work hard to live out what we already are, be encouraged that as you work, God is working as well. God's enabling you to live out what you already are. There's a famous man who once said about becoming more like Jesus, and this is what he said. He said, "I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world, but still I'm not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." Brothers, sisters, how are you going at living God's way? How are you going at becoming more and more like Jesus? As we live out what we already are, we shine like stars in the universe. As we live out what we already are, we shine like stars in the universe. How about I'll pray, and then if you want to ask a question, feel free to. So let's pray. Dear God, we know that as we read the Bible, it convicts us of the wrong things we have done. It challenges us. We ask, Lord, your Bible, your word will be doing that now, that it might be challenging us to live more and more like Jesus. We know that time and time again we fail to live up to your standards. We ask that you will forgive us for that. And we thank you at the same time that we have someone who did live up to your standard, one person, and that one person intercedes for us. Thank you so much for Jesus. And we ask, Lord, the Holy Spirit might be helping us to become more and more like Jesus each and every day of our lives, so that we might bring glory to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.